You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, December 5th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, The Behavior That Binds.
Ladies, that was wonderful. Thank you so much. Take your Bible, please, and let's go back and look at this verse one more time, where the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, the Bible says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I want to speak tonight on the behavior that binds us, the behavior that binds us. And I want you to think about something tonight. I want you to think about why some people are always disturbed. I want you to think about why some people are always dissatisfied. Why is it that some people are always discontent in life? You know, some people never seem to become content, no matter where they're at, no matter what they do. They never seem to be content. They're not content with the position that God has given them. They're not content with the prominence that God has allowed them to have. And they're not content with their status in life. Now, why is that? Why is it that there's a lot of people that never gain control on the outside because they don't have control on the inside? Why is it tonight that some people go through life and all they're doing as they go through life is wondering what life is all about? They never figured it out. Why is it that some people go through life and they're always asking questions such as, why did I say that? Why did I do that? You know, why is it that some people go through life and they're always, always not pleasing to themselves? Why is it that some people go through life and they make an action, but they don't know why they acted that way? They make a response, but they don't know why they responded that way. They make, if you will, please, perhaps a saying or a doing, and they don't know. Well, here the Apostle Paul is talking to those at Corinth. And what he's doing, now understand, this is a church that's out of balance. This is a church that does not understand their spiritual gifts. And so here he's talking to that church in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And really what he's doing is he's chastening the church. Here's the man of God, and he's speaking to the church, and he's chastening them with his words. Notice his words. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 1, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but it says as unto carnal. It says, even as babes in Christ. So here's what he's saying. He said, boy, I just can't speak to you as a mature individual. What I have to do is I have to speak to you. He's talking to the church at Corinth. Remember, the church at Corinth is a church out of balance. The church at Corinth is a church that does not have things in proper perspective. The church at Corinth is a church that does not have things in proper order. And so he says, look, I've got to come to you in a certain way. Because if I came to you giving meat, you couldn't handle it. I've got to come to you and I've got to treat you and talk to you as a babe. Now watch what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 2. The Bible says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now, by the way, once a person gets saved, we ought to decide that we're going to grow. You know, it would not be normal for Brother Harrison to be born and Brother Harrison as a little bitty baby, somebody such as his mama or such as his daddy, go ahead and feed him baby food with a little baby spoon. And to can you imagine Brother Harrison, a big man, and all of a sudden just never grew up and still has to be fed baby food with a baby spoon simply because he's just never grown up. Now, by the way, listen to me tonight. There'd be something there that would not be normal. Is that right? Something would be out of place. And so here's what Paul is saying to the church. He said, look, there's some things out of place. He said, matter of fact, he said, understand, as he rebukes them, he says, look, he said, I remember when I was a child. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child and I understood as a child and I did things that was childish. But now that I'm a man, here's what I did. I put away childish things. Now, I'm saying tonight that we ought to look at this. We ought to decide tonight that some of us are just going to grow up. Now, did you know that sometimes a person steps back and they look at things through the child's mind? Example, let me show you this. The Bible says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. It says, for hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Look down, if you will, in verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, for ye are yet a carnal. The Bible says, for whereas there is among you envying. Now, how do you know if a person is childish? He is giving now a description of somebody that's childish. How do you know if somebody is still on baby food and milk? He's giving a description of those that are still on baby food and milk and they can't handle the meat. Now, what is this? How do you know? Well, here's what it says. It says, among you, there's envying and strife and divisions. And he says, are you not carnal and walk as men? All right. So how do you know if somebody is not growing in the place that they ought to be growing? Simply because of the fact they're still acting childish. You know, sometimes we'll make decisions in adulthood, but we make decisions based on our childhood understanding. You know, the same people that had their feelings hurt when they were children is 9 times out of 10, if they didn't get a grip and grow out of that, will get their feelings hurt in adulthood. The same people that respond in a childish way when they were children, if they don't grow up and they don't grow out of that, they respond the very same way when they become adults. And so the Bible is talking about how you and I ought to decide how we're going to respond. Now, there's only two ways that the Bible talks about. We can respond as a child or we can respond as an adult. I don't know about you, but I've got some adult sons, and when I get to them and I talk to them, and maybe I've got to rebuke them, or maybe I've got to encourage them, or maybe we just have that father-son talk, I want them, because they are adults, to act like adults. Now, what happens, though, when a person decides? Why is it that some people just never grow up? Why is it? What is it that they do? How is it that they act? Well, let me give you some statements tonight. I want you to use your Bible and see it, please. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 12. Why is it that some people never become content? Why is it that some people always are dissatisfied? Why is it that some people never, never, never grow out of that childish type of reaction? Now, notice this tonight in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. The Bible says, for we dare to make ourselves, it says, of the number, or comparing ourselves with some, listen to it now, that commend themselves. Now, watch what it says and watch the wording. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So here's what he's saying. Notice the wording. He says measuring themselves by themselves. Now, why is it that some people never become content? Because inside, because they're always comparing themselves to somebody else, they feel like, notice the words, measuring up, measuring themselves. They just feel like they never measure up. Maybe it's because they had a mom or dad and they could never satisfy their parents. And because they could never satisfy their parents in childhood, they have a hard time satisfying their husband in marriage. Because they never satisfied their parents in childhood, they have a hard time believing that they satisfy God in their service for God. There is that, because mom and dad did something that was not wise, and always comparing one child against another child, one child against another child, and it's just not wise to do that. God said it's not wise to do that. And because of that, what happens is they feel like they just don't measure up. Now, may I say tonight that is a childhood response. You and I ought to decide that we're not trying to compare ourselves with someone else. We're trying to be the very best that we can be for Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if somebody thinks that we don't measure up, and it doesn't matter. Listen, but did you know when a parent puts a child on that grid system and that child grows up and they think that, well, you know, I just don't measure up. I can never please mom. Everything I do, I can never please mom. Everything I do, I could never please dad. Everything I do, I just fall short. I fall short. I fall short. Here's what happens. Eventually, they get an attitude. Well, then it just doesn't matter. I mean, if I can't please them, it just doesn't matter. And so therefore, they get a giving up attitude. They always feel guilty. They always feel inadequate. They never hit their goals. They always feel extremely rejected. You know why? Because they're not measuring up to the tape measure that was put down in the household. Now, may I say, it's hard for your child to measure up if you're not measuring up. Because it's a whole lot easier to climb the scale the side of a mountain if you've got somebody that is professional and they know how to scale the mountain. They know how to go up the side. They know how to step in the right place. It's a whole lot easier for a daddy to help a child to scale the mountain if he's scaling the mountain first. And so many times we expect our children to be more spiritual than we are. But it's a hard time for that child to measure up if we're not measuring up. Oh, sure, we want the teenagers to go soul winning, but what about you, Daddy? Oh, sure, we want the teenagers to be spiritual, but what about you, Mama? Oh, sure, we want everybody to shout it down and say amen and shout hallelujah and go to the altar and walk with God. But I'm saying tonight, we've got to be careful. Listen, you don't compare yourself to somebody else. Let's just decide tonight, we're going to get on fire for God. Let's just decide tonight, we're going to put God first. Let's decide tonight, we're going to measure up to His standard, not somebody else's standard. Let's decide tonight, put God first in the life. I'm saying statement number one, why is it that people feel inadequate in life? Why is it that people feel like they just can't satisfy authorities in their life? Because somewhere in that grid system that they've got, there's been placed the thought of you just don't measure up. And you never will. And because of that, listen, the Bible says when I was a child, I spake as a child. Come on, understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Some of us have to step out of childhood. You had a background that somebody did not believe in you, but leave that behind you. You know, you alone can get your prayers answered. You alone can approach the throne of God. Doesn't matter if mama never believed in you. It doesn't matter if daddy never believed in you. Doesn't matter if they ever patted you on the back or not. I'm telling you, on the authority of God's word, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And I'm telling you, you've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And it doesn't matter what anybody says about you. You can rise up. You can serve God. You can obey God. And it doesn't matter what people say about you. You can take and measure up to God's standard. Statement number one, why is it that people become dissatisfied? Because they get that belief in that grid system of, I just don't measure up. Statement number two, because of this, they desire to have needs met immediately. They want them met right now. That's childish. I've got to have it now. Boy, don't we live in a now crazed society? Give it to me now. If you don't give it to me now, it's just not right. And they voice it. I deserve it. You don't deserve nothing. If you got what you deserved, you'd be burning in hell. Anything above hell is a blessing and a benefit. Amen. Listen to it. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says over in Luke chapter 15 and verse 12. The Bible says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided, it says, unto them his living. All right, so here comes the younger son. Comes to that which is daddy. Here's what he says. He says, I want it now. Give it to me now. I want everything that I deserve right now. Now, where's that come from? You know, where's that come from? Let me show you where it comes from. Baby begins to whine immediately. It begins to cry. Now watch this. They cry because they're hungry. And mom or dad immediately runs to feed them. Now, by the way, that's a good thing. And the baby begins to cry and begins to whine because they're dirty. And so mama sends daddy in to change him. And daddy says, I don't know how to do that. Yes, and then daddy begins to cry. Because daddy said, I was a child, I spake as a child, I understand, I'm still a child. But now wait a minute. And so here's what you got. you've got a baby syndrome. So now the baby grows up a little bit. And by the way, the baby has now trained mom and daddy. So now the baby goes from the diapers to Walmart. And the baby begins to cry, I want this. I want this. Please give me this. What you ought to say, you've heard me say it. Get as close to them as you can. Don't let anybody hear. Don't let anybody hear. But you get as close to them as you can and say, you looky here, boy. I'm going to tell you something. When you get home, I promise you, before God and the holy witnesses at Walmart, you're going to get it. Hey, are you listening to me? I'm saying this. A person thinks, here's what they do. They say, I tell you what, the reason I'm not, and they don't say this. They might never admit it, but the reason that they're not satisfied, the reason that they're discontent all the way through life is simply because they can never please mama, never please daddy, always coming up short, couldn't just measure up. Not one time did daddy praise them. Not one time did mama praise them. Not one time did mom and dad try to encourage them. It was always scolding. It was always rebuking. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot more to a relationship than just scolding and rebuking. You've got to build a relationship. How do you do that? Help your child to understand. You've got to measure up to God. That's the one that counts. But why is it that people are dissatisfied? They're not content in life. They feel like they can't measure up. Statement number one. Statement number two, because they desire to have their needs met right now. By the way, if you don't train your child to get out of that, you know what that, you know what's going to happen? Now, I'm sorry, but you do not have an angel. Hello. You say, well, my children are angelic. Some husband said one time, he said, you know, I got a wife and she's an angel. She listened and she thought, oh, that is so good. Boy, my husband thinks I'm an angel. Woo! Boy, you know, he said, yeah, she's always up in the air harping about something. But did you know that an angel in the Bible is always of the male stature? We learned that when we were studying the doctrine of angels, didn't we? On Wednesday, by the way, it's good to come back on Wednesday night and learn doctrines of the Bible. But we studied that angels are always of the male stature. So if your husband ever comes to you and says, honey, angel, dear, what he's saying is, honey, one that looks like a man, dear. Don't take it as a compliment. Husband comes up to you and says, oh, you're my angel. What he's saying is, you're my wrestling partner. Now, don't measure up. Wait a minute, desires to have their needs met right now. You know, a child that never grows out of that would grow up being a thief. Do you know that? A child that says, I want it now. And if you don't give it to them, they're going to get it some way or another. Hey, you've got to teach your children to grow out of that. Don't always give in to your child. Your child says, I want it. Say no. Child says, I want it. No. Child says, I want it. No. And that's final. And son, if you ask me again, trouble's coming. And by the way, don't wait till the third time. When we were coming up as young parents, you remember this, Mrs. Wells? We were coming up as young parents. We used to do this 1, 2, 3 thing. You know, here's what we do. We would say, we'd tell our children to do something and then they wouldn't do it. And we'd say, one. Then they wouldn't do it. We'd say, two. They wouldn't do it. We say three. If we hit three, that meant death. I mean, that meant punishment, not death, punishment. Jonathan tells me we have over 1,000 people that tap into these sermons and listen to them. They're going to say, well, he talks about kicking cats and hitting dogs between the eyes. Now he's talking about killing children. You know, don't go to that church. We did not do that. But now watch this. Look, evidence. I've got all my kids are alive. They're here tonight. Amen. But now watch this, if you will. What took place was this. Watch this. I want you to think about this. If you don't teach a child to grow out of that, then later on, if you don't give it to them what they want now, because you've got to learn to say no sometimes. Don't always give your child what they want. By the way, everything that they want is not good for them. I told my boys said, Daddy, I want a car. I want a car. I want a car. Daddy, I want a car. I'm 16. I want a car. I said, I'll make you a deal. When you can save up enough money to buy the car, pay for the insurance, and pay for all the gas, I might consider letting you get a car. But I'm not buying you a car. You say, oh, preacher, you're mean. On purpose. You know why? Because Paul could not trust his own flesh. My boys asked me, they said, Daddy, do you trust me? No. Oh, come on, Daddy, don't you trust me? No. If Paul couldn't trust his own flesh, how in the world can I trust yours? You're not as holy as Paul. Come on, wait a minute, watch this. Hey, what's happening here? A child goes up in the home, and as he's growing up in the home, mom and dad say, look, you're just not doing it right. You never do it right. You never will do it right. And the child says, oh, I just never do it right. I guess I'll never be anything. And their self-confidence begins to hit the dirt, and they feel guilty all the time. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Help your child to measure up to Christ. Don't compare him with your other children. Allow them to be the person that God made them to be. Discontent, dissatisfied because they feel like they've never measured up. They desire to have their needs met now. You know why? Because mom and dad, you listen to me. You know what you're doing? You're raising your daughter to be trouble to her future husband. Because if you're always giving her everything she wants, you're creating an appetite inside of her that new husband will never be able to meet. You're creating something inside of her that it's not fair. Well, of course you can meet it. Look how many years you've been working. Of course you can meet it. Look how old you are. Well, of course you can meet it. Look how much money you got in the bank. Of course you can meet it. Come on. I mean, you've been around a while. And then all of a sudden, she's going to marry this guy. And this guy, you don't have the job that you... It took you 40 years to get a promotion like you got. And he doesn't have a nice car. He's not able to buy her nice clothes. Says, go down to Goodwill. Hello? By the way, that's what you had to do years ago, too. Wait a minute, watch this. And so they desire to have their needs met immediately. That's how come they cheat in their relationships. They cheat in their relationships, sleeping around with every guy on the block. You know why? Because they saw dad and mom move from one person to another person to another person to another person. They didn't have their needs met, so they just kept moving and just kept. You're setting the precedence. Don't set a precedence. Statement number one, doesn't measure up. Statement number two, desires to have their needs met immediately. Statement number three, temper tantrums. Temper tantrums. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 9. The Bible says a wise man, it says, contendeth, it says, with a foolish man, whether it says a rage or laughter, there is no rest. When somebody throws a temper, they throw a fit. Give me the doll. They throw a fit. Give me the ball. You know what that does? That takes all the energy out of the parents. Come on. We ought not to have children that attend Parkside Baptist Church that try and give your parents a hard time. Hey, you ought to love your parents. Thank God for the shoes they bought you. Thank God for the nylons that they bought you. Thank God for the dress that they bought you. Thank God they let you go and get your hair cut from time to time. Thank God, fella, that daddy gave you some shoes and daddy gave you some socks and dad and mama provided a pair of breeches for you and a nice looking tie and a nice looking suit. Hey, thank God for that. But don't throw a temper tantrum. Oh, listen to it. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible talks about how that person that is quick to rage and that person that's always laughing all the time, you know what they do? They don't allow people around them to get any rest. You imagine trying to be in a hotel room, and maybe you're on a preaching trip, and you're in a hotel room with a bunch of other guys, and all of a sudden there's this one guy, and he just keeps laughing all night long. No rest. Can you imagine being in a house where mom and dad are always fighting, fussing, and raging at each other? No rest. Can you imagine being in a household where a brother and sister are always quarreling, always bickering, always trying to get their own way? You know what that is? No rest. What is that? That's people that's trying to cause problems. That's people that's throwing a temper. No wonder people walk out on the job. No wonder people walk out on a marriage. No wonder people walk out from church. You know why? Because they want what they want, and they don't care if anybody else understands them or not, and they throw a temper tantrum, and because of that, it ruins their life. Boy, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, not measuring up, desire to have my needs met right now, temper tantrums. What about this? Fear. Let me give you just one more after this and I'm done. But this statement, fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So fear does not come from God. Come on. You said, "But you don't understand, preacher, when I'm driving down the road with my son and he drives recklessly, I have fear and I'm nervous." Okay, but don't start yelling at him, making him more nervous. Why don't you turn to God and say, "Dear God, please help me." Come on, close your eyes and pray, mama. Amen. Have you ever been with somebody that drives from the back seat? Have you ever? The light is turning red and they yell, "Stop!" But you're 200 yards from the light. What am I talking about? I'm talking about fear. You know, some people, I think, by the way, it carries over. When they're a child, they have a lot of fears. And by the way, are you listening to me? And they just never got a grip. They just never grew up. So they've carried their fears into adulthood. That's how come when the bills come, there's great fear. That's how come all of a sudden when something happens that's an emergency, they panic. You say, "Well, that's a part of my makeup." Don't get mad at me. But change your makeup. Don't live in the emergency zone. Don't live there. You know, if you live there, you're not going to live old. You're going to die young. Look, let things be water off. Now, don't be so passive that you don't take care of anything. I'm not saying that. "Well, we got bills, glory to God, and God will come through. Oh, I'm tired, turning over time." No, get up and go to work. Amen. But now wait, watch this. But there's fears that encompass, nervous, living on the edge, scared that I can't pay the bills. Oh, I'm so afraid if I let my child go soul winning. Oh, what's going to happen to them? Oh, if my son or my daughter surrenders to the mission field, oh, it can't be. I mean, you know, if they go to the mission field, what am I going to do? Oh, no. What if my son or my daughter, if you will, goes into the ministry? Oh, dear God, do you know what you're doing? Oh, they may starve to death. Oh, what if they go to a foreign field someplace and there's a Muslim outbreak? Oh, God, did you make a mistake? God never makes a mistake. We have to learn to get over the fear. Statement number one, these childhood things keep popping up. "Well, I just don't feel like I measure up." "Well, I've got to have my desires met right now." "Well, if I don't get my way, I'm going to show everybody it's not fair. And I have a temper tantrum." "Boy, I'm afraid. Boy, what am I going to do if it don't work out?" Let me give you one more and I'm done. Because of this, a distorted view of God. A distorted view. Let me read this to you and I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Bible says, now I read this 2 weeks ago. Bible says, "And I would have you," listen to it now. "And I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God." Now I drew you a picture. You remember me drawing a picture? You remember that? Okay, Brother Jared, bring your wife and come. Now watch this. I'm going to draw the picture again. But I want you to see something different with the picture tonight. And okay, Brother Bokri, come over here if you will, and you'll play the role of God, and if you will, okay, Brother Allen, right here, Christ, if you will. Watch this, if you will. Brother Jared, you face Brother Allen, and you face your husband. Now, we've got to get you a child. Child, come here. All right. Now watch this. So Christ turns and faces God. God tells him what to do. He turns and faces the man. Christ tells the man what to do. Man turns and faces the wife, tells the wife what to do, and tells the wife what to do, and tells the wife what to do. And then the wife turns and faces the child, tells the child what to do, and the child goes on, faces way to obey God. Now watch, I want to show you something. When the child looks at mama, he ought to be able to see straight through mama because of the life that she lives. Stay with me now. Here's what Paul prayed. You want to know what Paul prayed? Paul prayed that God, listen to me, Paul prayed that God would have free course through him. Now, you know what that means? That means that Paul prayed that his life would be transparent. That means that Paul prayed that his life would be like a vial. If you will, please, a vial that's coming down from God. God pours the water in. It goes through Christ, goes through the father, if you will, goes through the mama, comes to the boy. Now watch this. That son ought to be able to look through mama, see daddy, see Christ, and see God with no complications, obstruction, or problems. Now, the problem is this. All of a sudden, you get a mama. Watch me now. All of a sudden, you get a mama that gets backslidden. All of a sudden, mama, if you will, moves out of the picture. Mama gets backslidden. She said, I'm not going to church on Sunday night. You're in trouble, son. And wife says, I don't care what you say, and I don't care what that preacher says. That soul winning's for the birds. I'm not going to do it. Yeah. Now here's the problem. Bible says, double-minded man, stay with me. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So he tries to see what God wants. Stay with me. But mama's got his attention. Mama's not in the right place. And mama's trying to get his attention to do what she wants him to do, rather than being in her place where he can see straight through her to see what God wants him to do. See, we mess up. Here's what you do. You're a mama. Here's what you do. You say, well, I don't want to go soul winning because I just don't feel like it. Well, you better back up. And you better consider the whole scope of that thing. Because you got a son and you got a daughter that's watching you. Hello? You say, well, they're going soul winning and it doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter now, but I'm going to tell you something. One day they're going to look back, and if they ever get backslidden, you'll become their biggest excuse. If that child ever has a weak moment in their life, they'll be able to point to you and say, well, I remember when you were that age, you didn't go soul winning. And you'll become their excuse to stay backslidden, and no telling what's going to happen to them when they're backslidden. Because when they step out away from God, they lose all protection rights. See, what takes place, we don't get this. If we would get this and we would understand this, it would revolutionize the way that we obey God. You say, well, preacher gets up there and preacher harps on soul winning, and preacher harps on living right, and preacher harps on being a right person, and preacher harps on this and harps on that. You know why? It's not because that we're trying to get you to do something to make us look good. Your son needs you. Your daughter needs you. Hey, those friends that you've got, those acquaintances, they need you. You ought to stay right with God. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Back off just a little bit. Here's what takes place. And by the way, you're going to get tired. But you're going to get tired no matter what you do because it comes with age. Hey, come on. You ever do this? You ever take a vacation and you came back more tired than when you left? Okay, point in case. Come on. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm serving God and I'm tired. Well, you're always going to be tired. Curtis Hudson said, he used to say, you were born tired, you'll live tired, and you'll die tired. You might as well serve God tired. But that's how come the Bible says that you'll be weary in well-doing. But in due season, you will reap if you faint not. See, the whole thing is not becoming weary. It's not fainting when you do become weary. Now, how do I do that? Well, my Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. Hey, there's a way that I can get my strength. How do I do it? That word wait on the Lord, that word wait there is talking about not sitting down and twiddling your thumbs together. It's not talking about that. It's talking about like waiting on a table. You stay busy. You stay busy. You stay busy. Oh, watch this. Come back in line, if you will. You got right with God. Praise God. It was the husband's influence, we know. And okay. But the Bible says, step out of line there, Brother Jared, step out of line. This family just don't have it together. She gets right with God, he gets backslid. And they can't get together. All right, but wait. So it looks at Mama. Mama's right with God. But Mama don't have a head over her, and she's trying to make it all by herself. You know how hard it is for a mama to try and raise boys by, or girls for that matter, by herself? That's a hard thing. Especially to raise boys. Because you don't want them to be mama's boys. Now watch this, if you will. And so what takes place is he looks at her and she's serving God, but looks over at daddy and daddy's not serving God. Looks at mama serving God, but daddy not serving God. Daddy's going to a football game on Sunday. Mama's in church. Daddy's going out bear hunting on Sunday. Mama going to church. Daddy's sleeping in on Sunday. Mama going to church. Daddy's working a job on Sunday. And by the way, some of that, like that job stuff, you can't help it for a while. But if you pray hard enough and long enough, God is powerful enough to give you something to keep you in church. Oh, wait a minute. And so he looks over at daddy, and daddy's sitting up watching dirty movies. Looks at mama reading the Bible. Looks at daddy and sees that daddy's over there on the internet looking at porno. And mama's over here. She's taking and she's serving God and she's praying and she's going out sowing. Looks at daddy and daddy's not shouting amen in church. Daddy's falling asleep in church. But mama's got a tear down her eye. Looks at daddy and daddy's over there and daddy's he's texting and daddy is over there and he's getting on these iChat things and daddy's over there and he's trying to build a relationship with other people that don't even exist. Wait a minute, that son's gonna be confused. I want to show you something. Come back in line, daddy. You got right with God. Now wait a minute, watch this. Let me show you a happy son. Are you ready? All of a sudden, are you ready for this? You ready for this? Are you ready? Okay. A preacher gets up there and he begins to preach. Are you ready for this? And boy, preacher's up here. And of course, God speaks to the Lord and the Lord shows the preacher, pat me on the back, says, go over there and do that. And I open my Bible and say, hey, this is what the Bible says. And boy, daddy's getting ready to get all excited, you know. And daddy's looking at me and stand facing me, if you will. And so, and bring your wife over here, right here beside you, will. And bring your son right over here, right here. And boy, all of a sudden, you know, preacher's up here and preacher's saying, that's what the Bible says. We are supposed to obey the Bible. That's what we're supposed to do. God wants us to serve him. And daddy shouts amen. Amen. Oh, daddy gets more excited than that. And boy, I tell you, and the preacher says, hey, we ought to go get excited about preaching. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to serve God. Amen. Boy, and mama looks at him with a big old goober smile. Woo. You know what happens? And then son looks at mama and daddy and says, wait a minute, preacher's excited. Daddy's excited. Mama's excited. You know what that does? That helps your son to become strong. I love it. That helps your son to become strong. Amen. You know why? Because the whole family's serving God together. Woo! I mean, the whole family's right in there. Come on. Let's do it again. That was fun, wasn't it? And so preacher gets up and says, hey, you're supposed to tithe.
Amen.
And he looks at mama and he looks at daddy and gets a big old smile and just, oh, he keeps it there anyway. And he looks at daddy and smiles and says, well, he could have did better than that, but that's okay. Daddy's coming along. And so now wait a minute, watch this, if you will. So what takes place is this. What takes place is he does not have a distorted view of God. You see, here's what your Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, the Bible says, but I would have you to know. I want you to know this. I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. He only has one head. He only has one head. Come on, some of us are more loyal to our bosses than we are to Christ. You've only got one head. Come on. Look, your boss is not going to be there at the judgment seat. But Christ is. Come on. Some of you are, well, honey, the husband says to the wife, well, honey, what do you want to do? What, honey, should we go to church on Sunday? Honey, if you don't feel good, I'll just stay here and I'll hold your hand. Well, whatever happened to becoming the priest of the home? Whatever happened to say, hey, honey, come on, let's go. Hey, come on. I know I'm not feeling well tonight, but I'm gone and you're gone and the kids are gone. And hey, let's just go serve God. Hey, give us some men again. Give us some men that's going to look to Christ. Give us some men. Hey, get some hair on your chest, man. You stand up. You do something for God. You decide you're the one that's going to serve God and let God be God and every man a liar. And you decide that God can help you. Now, wait a minute. But, you know, well, honey, I'll tell you what. We're not going to go to church tonight because, you know, I'm not feeling well. But you make it on Monday and your temperature was higher. I don't understand. And then you got this kid that's saying, well, boy, you know, daddy, you know, he used that excuse. I'd write that one down. And by the way, I'm talking about when I was a child. I thought as a child, understood as a child. You realize what you're doing is you're creating a grid system in your children right now. Come on. Okay, go ahead. Look. Now, get mad at me. Now, don't really. I need your love. But now, get mad at me and leave here tonight and go eat preacher for supper. Go ahead. Do it in front of your kid. I don't agree with everything he said tonight. Best thing you can do, mama, is keep your mouth quiet. Yes. Smile for Jesus, amen. Nod your head up and down. Amen. Just pretend you got something in there, amen. All right, now wait a minute. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that for this reason. Your child is watching. Your child is, we don't understand this. Come on. Jonathan, whatever would have happened to you if every single time I got in the car, and I was the one preaching, by the way. Makes it hard to criticize the preacher when you're the guy. But what would have happened if you would have had a daddy that got in the car, and daddy, every time he got in the car, he disagreed with the preacher? Boy, I can't believe that preacher. Boy, he sure did. He stood on the pew. Did you see him when he opened his mouth and all that white spit came out? Ooh, that was disgusting, especially when it landed in that woman's hair. Oh, come on. Oh, I can't believe that preacher. Oh, that preacher. Can you believe him? Boy, he got up there and he threw a fit tonight. Did you see? Boy, I knew that one person. Did you see them? They didn't like it one bit. Whew. I got news for you. I didn't like it either. Come on. And your kid's hearing that. Look. I am not, don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to help us to see some principles that we had in our life. Some principles that helped my children to develop a good taste for God. Come on. Man, we didn't try and tear, look, we didn't tear authority down. A kid came to me and said, well, my Sunday school teacher said, Dad, and I know you don't agree with that. I said, look, you obey your Sunday school teacher. Your Sunday school teacher is your authority. Now, you do what that teacher said. Man, I tell people all over America, you see my kids acting up, please help me. Chew them out. Get them in a corner. Put your finger in their chest. Let them know how that cow is eating that cabbage. Help them. You know why? Because they need many authorities in their life. One time, one of the boys came to me, bawling his eyes out. And he said, Daddy, he said, the preacher chewed me out. And I said, whoa, back up, back up. If the preacher saw you doing it, but I didn't, I don't want to hear it. Back up, son. If God allowed an authority to see it in your life and he scalded your hide, it's because your hide needed scalding. Well, I didn't do it. Well, there's probably plenty of times you did something you didn't get caught. God said, it's about time I nail your hide, and he did. Don't you come to me whining. Now you go back home and you reevaluate the situation. Amen. Now watch this. Okay, get back right with God. Here we go. One last thing. You come over here. No, don't lead them. You come over here. And all right, now watch this. Okay. And so here's what happens when all of a sudden God speaks to Christ and Christ speaks to the man and the man speaks to the wife and the wife speaks to the child. Then you got everything in perfect harmony. And nobody can look at that and say, there's something not right. And by the way, when something's not right, people see it just like that. Boy, don't they ever? Come on. Who's the first person to see your hair out of place? Normally not you. Who's the first person to see your collars not tucked in right, not turned down? Normally not you. Normally somebody comes up and says, here, let me help you out a little bit. You didn't catch it. You know, why is it that some people take and, come on, who's first person says, well, you didn't iron that dress today, did you, huh? It's normally not you. See, people see more of you, stay with me and I'm done, than you see of yourself. Now, that's not bad. That is not bad. All right, thank you. Be seated. I had... Closing illustration. I had an old preacher come to me one time. He rebuked me. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you need to loosen up. He said, you just loosen up. He said, son, when you preach and you stand behind the pulpit and you don't move and you don't raise your voice, he said, you're killing everybody, including me. He said, loosen up. So I did. Now I think he regrets it. But now wait, watch me if you will. It is so important that you allow God to work through you. Because people all around you see you differently than perhaps you see yourself.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.